Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jeez, what happened to you?
I'm happy. How do you do to you, too?
Sorry, you just look bad.
Well, I didn't get much sleep last night.
Why not?
Marina had a fight and she ran away.
What? Where? Did you...
She's fine. She's at my mother's.
Throw that information in with the first part. You'll scare a person to death.
I'm sorry. You know, I got in my car 3 times to go get her. I drove halfway there and drove back. Drove halfway there and drove back. I actually ran out of gas driving halfway there and back.
She'll cool off and come home.
Hey, this is Jess.
And this is Sandra.
This is Emily. Welcome to today's town meeting. And now...
It's time for Sandra's Sucky Summaries.
In this episode, Rory Gilmore is angry at the world. And we all know Rory. When she gets upset, she does the patented Rory Gilmore runaway. But before that, Rory and Lorelai play a fun little game called 1-2-3... that stops being fun once ex-boyfriends are involved. Lorelai has a phone call with her teacher boyfriend that's only semi-inappropriate. And Lane Kim has a science project and a secret science partner that almost immediately stops being secret. The truth is, nothing's going right for Rory today. Max informs her he's dating her mom again, Lane lies to her about seeing her ex-boyfriend, and Lorelai is just incredibly too peppy for her to handle. So, as stated before, Rory runs away to her grandparents, where they not only welcome her with open arms, but literally cancel all their plans for her. Lorelai also attacks a 16-year-old boy, but don't worry, only verbally. But he does defend himself. All he did was say, "I love you," to Rory. And she freaked out. I mean, sure, Dean, that's how it happened. But whatever. Lorelai gets the hint and rushes to her daughter, bringing her home after a long talk so she can apologize to Lane and maybe start to feel like herself again. Also, Luke gets a makeover. Rachel is unsure about things. And that was P.S. I love... dot, dot, dot. Let's discuss.
Okay. What on earth is Lorelai talking about in the beginning of this episode? Like, she's talking about getting her $20 bill ripped and then quarters paid off. Was it a dream?
I think it's supposed to be a dream.
Or is this real?
Yeah, because I don't think there's any magicians in the town of Stars Hollow that we know of. And if there was a magician, we'd know.
Maybe it's just Kirk.
Oh, one of Kirk's many jobs.
I hope Kirk is a
magician. I could totally see that. Like a magician for kids' parties?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's really bad at it, so when he rips up the $20 bill, he has to pay you back in quarters.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see Kirk doing that.
That would be amazing.
But we actually see Kirk later in this scene, so probably not.
We do.
I feel like we are getting closer to the real Kirk, or how, yes, what Kirk ends up being. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting close.
Making progress.
He's so funny in this, though. Like, but I actually felt really bad for him. The whole, like, kick me sign.
What?
And then they're just laughing
what
at him.
What adult is putting a kick me sign on another adult's back in this town that's not Luke?
Yeah, but it could be kids.
Wait,
I can see kids
Luke
doing
would do it.
I can't see the kids being, I guess, teenagers.
I mean, to be totally honest, I can see Kirk having, like, beef with kids. You know, like...
Let's focus on the Gilmore Girls. Rory's not doing too well. She's sleepy. She's, like, kind of cranky. Lorelai notices, and they start playing this little fun game. 1-2-3.
1-2-3, he's yours.
I like it. I want to play this game.
This just look.
I kind of want to do it now.
This just sounds like a fun game.
It's perfect for, like, if you're sitting, like, outside on a patio with a friend, like, getting lunch, and you're like, what should we do?
1-2-3 is yours. Let's do it.
It would have to be somewhere with foot traffic, though. Because otherwise, you're just stuck with, like, whoever else is there.
I mean, Lorelai's picks are amazing. Either super old, super young, or Kirk.
I mean, Kirk is obviously the best option.
Right? I was going to say, like, I think Kirk is my option there.
Or Luke, because Luke does come in midway through the game.
He does.
He's technically number three, is he not? Like,
kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, the girls discount him in the game themselves, though. So I feel like it's hard to say for us to be like, he counts, when Lorelai and Rory themselves are like, no.
I mean, I think that Amy thinks it counts, though.
Yeah, I think that was, like, serious foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, she looks straight at him and is like, my new husband.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was funny? Luke doesn't charge much for his food. Meatloaf is $5.65. Mac and cheese is $4.75.
And that's probably,
this,
like,
diner,
let's say,
a whole is super cheap.
How big are,
meal,
yeah,
right?
You think it's, like, something with, like, two sides or... It is really
cheap.
See, yeah.
He also had a barbecue burger for $6.25, which I feel like is getting closer to real prices, mm-hmm. but a meatloaf for $5.65 is unheard of.
Well, I was going to say,
good for you, Luke.
His burgers look pretty good, and they always come with fries.
Mm-hmm.
And after our last episode, probably a pickle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're probably getting a solid meal for $6. Like, I think that's even hard to do. Well, I say that my McDonald's order is a little bit vast, so that's even hard to do at McDonald's these days, $6 for a full meal.
That's hard for
me
to do at McDonald's. All I do is a cheeseburger, some fries, and a drink. I think it pulls in at like $5, which is not very much, because like, it's not a McDouble or anything. It's literally just a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue this game. Round two is Rory's turn, but it immediately ends.
The worst timing. The worst timing.
Oof. Yikes.
And they're
Dean
like...
Forrester.
They're like, I don't even need to. Like, the first one, Dean, game over. We're done. Let's
Smack
order.
In the face.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the two of them do a really good job of, like, moving on, essentially. Like, to not...
Ooh, I think Rory does a terrible job of moving on. Lorelai tries,
but Rory, like, she gets optimistic and tries to get, like, peppy. So I'm like, I want to give her, give her an A for effort.
You know what? This is a Rory's a teenager episode.
Very much
oh
so.
Oh my gosh, she is the most teenager.
But yeah, so after the intro, the theme song, that's what it's called, we go to the inn. And how does Michelle have a job? This is a motif in my life. Like, every episode, I'm going to ask this question.
Drink every time we say that, but don't do it if you're worried about
drinking too much. This is the note on mine, is why is Michelle so weirdly aggressive towards his boss?
Right?
Yeah.
Does he hate Lorelai?
Like, he literally chucks the phone at her.
Lorelai is doing some kind of Nature Conservation Council flyers.
Oh,
like,
okay.
That's what she's doing, those folders and
cool.
stuff.
I didn't look at them.
I'm not sure if she's part of the... Like,
I highly doubt she's part of it. She's probably, they're probably hosting
something. Like, preparing stuff for guests.
Yeah. But yeah, so Max Medina calls.
I have to say something about this phone call. The way he says phone calls is so dirty. Like, we've been having, you know, a few weeks of very successful phone calls. I was like, what are you guys
doing?
Well, it's
kind of a dirty conversation.
They're doing dirty things on these phone calls, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, like, later, Rory does phone sex via text, right? Sexting.
Mm-hmm.
Are Max and Lorelai having phone sex? Or are they just having really good conversations?
Well, the way I figured it, if she's at work and he's in the teacher's lounge and they can still make jokes about, like, seeing underwear, then yes, their conversations are dirty and private.
Yep.
Probably.
Yeah. I would assume it's a mix. Like, some of it is good talking time, getting to know each other. Because, we've been told
they
spend a lot of time together, but I don't think
we've
seen it.
We've never seen it. No.
I think that continues to be the struggle there.
Either way, this is an inappropriate conversation. For both of them to be having it work.
Right?
Like, neither side of this is appropriate.
That's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they get a date out of it, I guess. Saturday at 8 p.m. Again, I was just telling my co-host, I'm making plans this weekend at 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm old. 9 o'clock is so late. Are you telling me you're going on a date at 8 o'clock at night when you're, like, mid-30s? Like,
9 o'clock well, is 30s. When I'm not going to bed yet, but, like, the process is starting. Like, I am an old woman.
Like, on a good night, I will have gotten into bed, and I have my book, but I'm not planning to go to sleep for, like, another half hour to an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, Lorelai is just, she's getting more than us, guys. She's going out at 8 o'clock at night.
Way to go, girl.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, right?
And then we move on, and Rory gets smacked in the face with a bag of chips.
Right? Oh my god, I laugh every time
I do, too. I mean, it shows you how close vinegar, though, they are, that she's like, here you go. In a non-aggressive way, Michelle. Lane is just like, tosses at her. All fun.
Real quick, what's your favorite flavor of chip?
I like barbecue.
Barbecue.
Sour cream and onion.
Or jalapeno.
Mmm. I actually really like salt and vinegar. They say that people who like salt and vinegar are kind of masochists.
Oh.
Like, all it does is just, like, tear
that
you up.
Holds with what I know about you, Sandra. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I believe it, though. Those chips are nasty.
How dare you? No. Dean does not work on Wednesdays. Wednesdays
he
are safe.
He does not.
And Rory pulls out, like, the smallest post-it note package thing that I think I've ever
seen. I love that Lane knows about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. They're so cute. Like, still justice for Lane, always. But, like, whenever they have true friendship moments, I love it. Which is why this episode's so tough for me.
Yeah.
Also, does this imply that Dean works 6 days a week?
He can't. As a minor, he literally cannot.
Well, if he's part-time?
I mean, if he's, like, doing 3 hours, like, under... That's...
Yeah.
When I was a supervisor, minors can only work 4 days in a row.
Okay. Right?
And they had to have at least 2 days in between shifts, like, after
I mean, that makes sense. That sounds much better.
Yeah.
But I was
like, there's an hour max, too, right?
How is Wednesday the only safe day?
Okay, you can only work, like, 10 to 15 hours a week max as well.
Mm-hmm. 20 for us, but yeah. So, I don't know how he's doing this, but he's doing it. Maybe he's actually 18. Because he looks 18.
Dean has actually failed
he's just tall.
Three grades.
He's just tall.
Yeah. When he moved from Chicago, he actually just, like, had to go back 2 years. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Those schools up in the suburbs just don't do as well on the East Coast.
That's why he had such a hard time reading Anna Karenina.
The common man. Anyways, we continue in Stars Hollow Square with, I thought this name of the store was the Gat Club.
No,
I thought it was chat.
It's the cat club. The G looks like
a
C.
I'm assuming it's like the French word for cat.
Yeah.
Or the C looks like a G.
Yeah. And either way, there's like an entire cat-inspired shop. Okay, and like, hot take, or maybe hot differing opinion, I would love those pot holders. They are so fun.
I love cats, and I would never, ever use those pot holders.
I love, like, that color scheme and that whole, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, pattern. I love them.
I mean, we determined yesterday that Jess has old woman fashion, so I guess it makes sense.
I do. I have grandma sensibilities. But I do not think these are a good choice for Rachel.
No.
And I think that Lorelai is right to call them out, but she goes about it in kind of an aggressive way.
Know. She's right about everything. Like, okay, first off, Luke's rant reminded me so much of Nick from New Girl. Like, the way that he was ranting about both the mall and what was the first thing he ranted about?
Gifts. Is it birthdays and holidays?
Yes, giving gifts. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is 100% Nick Miller. If you haven't watched New Girl, watch it. It's amazing. But, like, Luke, calm down.
So, we've talked about how we haven't fully gotten Kirk yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are just now finally getting to, like, the real Luke. Because Lorelai says at one point, Luke Grant number one. And I think that really is our first real Luke Grant this season, is it?
Well,
I
mean, the hospital, he has kind of a little hospital rant.
Mm-hmm.
He has a melodramatic
about why he
moment.
Doesn't like hospitals. But it's not the same. This is like a true mini monologue from Luke.
It's really funny. I agree with the underpay employees at the mall.
Oh god, yeah. That's everywhere, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Is somebody gonna tell me they couldn't have gotten a cuter cat sound than like a cat that's about to be thrown by its tail?
It was a bad cat sound.
Like, make it purr. How cute would that be?
Or like just a cute little like meow, you know, like something cute. I still like the potholders, but the sound was bad.
Yeah. If you need one, I'll go record my cat meowing at my door. You can put that one on there. It's just a cute little meow.
And in the last episode, we talked about the relationship and the friendship between Luke, Lorelai, and Rachel. But I think that this is a really great example of that friendship between Luke and Lorelai, because he just gives her his credit card. Like,
yeah. And we also see lines being crossed.
Yes. Lorelai, again, kind of pushes too hard.
In but this she scene? Has been not or in the future. This.
No, I don't mean that she pushes it. I mean that Luke doesn't understand that this is a weird thing. And Lorelai doesn't understand that this is a weird thing.
Yeah.
So, like just imagine it. Like, okay, I open a gift from my significant other, and I open it. I'm like, oh, where did you get this? Oh, my best opposite sex friend bought it for you.
Me. That's a little...
It's weird.
Well, I think it depends on the person, right? We know that Rachel's not super into birthdays per Luke. So there's that. But I don't know. I think Lorelai was too pushy about like literally getting into his bag. But it does remind me this
getting
situation.
Getting into his bag?
Yeah.
I like the way that she like reaches for the credit card.
Yeah.
It's like, give me.
This reminds me of in the future when she will do April's birthday party.
Yes.
And again, like nobody, neither Luke or Lorelai is like, this is kind of weird. They just go with it. And I mean, I will always be on Lorelai's side for that particular fight. When we get there, we'll talk about it. But
this side, I feel like this conversation, this whole scene was almost an exact, I guess it's the original. So in the future, it's almost an exact replica of this scene when he's trying to get that, like, Lorelai even says, just let me be a part of it. And Luke has two totally different reactions. Yeah. But like, I think it's even in front of the same store.
Luke even says, Rachel likes elephants and she likes candles. Ooh, get her an elephant-shaped candle.
Boom. That would have been a great gift.
That would have been great. Luke, pick that.
Did anybody think through the logistics of an elephant-shaped candle once you get down to, like, just the legs?
Maybe the trunk is, like, the wick and then it, like, curves in.
They're 100% sure. Are elephant-shaped candles.
Oh,
maybe harder to find back then.
I need to find some of these, though.
Yeah. I do think that Lorelai's gift is pretty good. We'll get to it later, but this is the beginning of many lines being crossed in this relationship. Yes. I mean, the whole Rachel asking Lorelai to jump in was a line crossed.
Both sides are like kind of weird with Lorelai.
There are just no lines.
It's like she's like the third in
there are no lines in these relationships.
They should have just been a truple and got it over with.
It's like the episode of How I Met Your Mother when Robin starts dating her therapist. Line number one.
Yes.
No.
But like...
But also Kyle Penn is amazing.
He finally psychoanalyzes all of them and just, like, rails at all of them as to why there are literally no boundaries, that they are just so codependent. And I was like, as is every TV show, really, friendship, it seems like.
Well, speaking of friendship, earlier in the episode, we found out that Lane actually doesn't... She has plans that night with a science partner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that conversation came about, it was almost as if she was asking Rory, hey, what are you doing tonight so you can come over, right? And then she's like, no, I have a... I'm doing something with the partner.
Lane pulls off that conversation really well. Like, until we get to this next scene in Kim's Antiques, I never would have thought that she's like... Not manipulating, but just trying to, like,
figure out
what's going on.
Yeah.
To be like, do I have to share, or can I just not?
It was lying by him.
Yeah.
And, yes, she's protecting Rory, but yes, she's also lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that becomes, like, a theme of this entire episode, is people protecting Rory by lying to her or by omitting information.
It becomes like a trigger word in this episode, I feel like.
It does. Yeah. It
she
literally
rolls her eyes at one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dean arrives as Lane's science partner, and oh my god, Mrs. Kim.
She is on a rampage. This is, like, one of the hardest core Mrs. Kims we ever see.
Mm-hmm.
She is intense. And Dean...
She straight up says reproduction.
Yeah! Reproduction. Oh my gosh. Mrs. Kim.
Spores, molds, and fungus.
Dean, to his credit, deals pretty well. Like, Dean knows not to talk back the way that he talks back to Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I was watching this with my mom, right? And she goes, Dean is very respectful in this scene, but later on with Lorelai, he's not very respectful at all. He's very disrespectful. And I'm like, I guess. But also, he's a minor getting attacked by a fully grown woman in a grocery store, so... but anyways, my note was, Mrs. Kim will kill a bitch. Because she will.
Yeah. There's one moment where I think that they push it, like, a little bit too far, where she does the, I see all. Like, that's almost a little it's too a character. Comic.
My note is, Mrs. Kim is already plotting on how to get rid of Dean.
Yeah. Right? Lorelai would be in on it right now, girl.
Yes.
Take her up on the offer.
No, right now, Lorelai would not be in on it. In about 20 minutes, she would probably be in on it.
But yeah, so they start talking about Rory. The conversation immediately goes to Rory.
Yep.
Even though both sides are like, maybe we shouldn't talk about Rory. No, let's continue talking about Rory. And it's like they summon her.
Do you guys think it's Lane crazy. Breaks the girl code when Dean asks, how's Rory doing? And she goes, good. Ish. Less good than ish.
Less good than
like,
ish.
Do you think she's breaking the girl code there by not just being like, she's fine. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yes, I think, honestly, because of the way that things ended with them, and because Rory's still so unhappy, and there hasn't been any move to like, well, we can still be friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would say she shouldn't say anything. They should just leave it. And of course, Rory is like the most important person in both of their lives. So it's natural that it would come up. But yeah, I would be uncomfortable.
But Rory also, like, she hasn't told Lorelai, but does she tell Lane? No, right? She hasn't told anyone.
Not.
As far as we know, I don't think she's told anybody.
So not even Lane knows what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is kind of breaking the girl code. But like, at the same time, I understand being in the situation when you're friends with someone. But then they're also your best friend's ex-boyfriend, so how do I talk to this person anymore?
Well, and when she says, do you think you'll get back together? Like, I don't think that's a conversation that you should have with him.
That's such an awkward...
Have you had that conversation with Rory?
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't had that conversation with Rory, you shouldn't have that conversation with Dean.
Well, she wants to protect Rory. It's that sense, again, of Dean is the adult and Rory's a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, they're the same age, but somehow everyone always treats Dean like he knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory is this little tiny girl that we can't even...
No, I bet Rory and Lane have had that conversation of, like, the do you think you'll get back together conversation.
Yeah.
So I bet Lane knows how Rory feels about it, and so she's just trying to, like, well, how does Dean feel about it? Yeah, maybe matchmake a little bit, see if she can salvage whatever happened between them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, later Lane says that she doesn't even want to bring up Dean's name because she doesn't want to make Rory sad. So, I mean, I have no clue how much they've actually talked about it because Rory just doesn't want to talk about it. Like, full stop.
The most we've seen her talk about it is Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was, like, nice things.
Which is weird. Really weird.
Yeah.
So Rory walks in and it's almost like Lane has a sixth sense. When she, like, looks to her left, I think it is, I fully expected Mrs. Kim to just be watching them.
Staring.
And then it's
glaring
Rory.
At them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And Rory looks shell-shocked.
Well, yeah. Like,
devastated.
I feel bad for
her.
Not
a good
year.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm fine is, oof, rough, man.
I mean, that's a shock. To walk in to, like, see your best friend expecting, like, a happy encounter and you end up with... And at this point, Rory knows absolutely nothing about it. Like, obviously she knows Lane and Dean are sitting on opposite sides of the table with books everywhere, so it's kind of odd. And she's already been told it's a science project, but, like, I don't know. It just... Yeah. It'd just be a huge shock to be like, oh, this is your science partner.
It feels like a betrayal.
Yeah. I mean, it's enough to cause, like, quite a big fight between them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're teenagers and you're not really, like, you don't know how to talk about that stuff yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Rory would have this thought, but I wonder if there was, like, a half-second thought of, wait, is there something more going on here? Like, I don't think it would grab hold, but I think there would be, like, a flit through before she'd be like, wait, no, there's no way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, when I was watching, I had the thought that I'm really glad that it didn't go that way,
mm-hmm.
because, like, that's the way that a lot of these teen shows would have it go.
Right.
Like, I've discovered my boyfriend and my ex together, and I'm gonna assume, and it's gonna be a big thing. Like, that would be the natural progression of a lot of these shows.
Her boyfriend and her ex.
Her boyfriend, her ex.
Oh, no, her best friend.
That's like a Gossip Girl kind of thing.
No, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That would be the natural progression of most of these, like, teenager shows.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, Rory's a little too smart for that at this point, because she's, you know, she's, like, very experienced in the some ways and other ways she's not. But,
and she does have a really, really great friend in Lane, too. They have that in each other. So even if it does flit in there for just a second, feel like it would firmly be, like, put back in its place. Like, no, that's not a thing. That's not happening here.
Well, regardless, Rory takes it badly.
Yeah.
And Lorelai does not help in the morning, but also...
Who is this Peppy in the morning?
Right?
She's super bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And the thing is, we've seen Rory try to wake up Lorelai in
like,
past?
Almost the exact same manner.
Like this, yeah.
Post-Max breakup. Actually, post-Dean breakup.
But I felt like this Rory is the closest we've gotten to pilot Rory, right? Because we said in the pilot, we never really see Rory act this way again. But no, in this episode, we definitely see that.
Yeah,
we see that attitude come back. Mm-hmm.
She's mean in this episode.
She is. She's like...
She is.
She's hard to like in this episode. And I know, again, it comes from a place of being hurt and upset and being a teenager.
Right.
Like, girl. Also... Who chooses to go to school over going to the mall with their mom, who is their best friend?
Right? I would have taken Lorelai's offer.
When you're in that bad of a mood and your overly peppy mom wakes you up first thing in the morning.
True.
Do you think I'm more pretty today than I was yesterday? Like, if I'm sulking over a breakup, that's the last thing I want. Like, nope.
Yeah.
You're ugly today, mom. Take me to school.
Lorelai admits later that she's worried about talking about her own happiness because she doesn't want to bring down Rory. And yet she comes in with that.
Yeah.
Am I as pretty as I was yesterday? Or maybe I was just as pretty yesterday, but now I have self-esteem. Like, what are you talking about, Lorelai?
I appreciate the confidence.
But I do agree with mental health days.
Yeah.
They're important. And I do think Rory needed one. That day. Maybe not to go to the mall, but maybe just stay home or go to the Star Tall bookstore and just relax.
Yeah.
Because school does not go great.
No.
No. Honestly, she should have stayed home because things just get so much worse. This is the first time we've seen Max in a little while. Like, we go out of seeing him and then hearing he's around and then not actually seeing him. But, man, he is back and he's like... gonna pick up where they left off. Norman and
I can't decide, is he crossing boundaries with this conversation? Like, is he aiming for stepdad conversation or teacher conversation?
Yeah, it feels that way. It would be one
thing, like a mix.
Yeah,
right. It would be one thing to be like, hey, I notice you've been distracted, like, and like, do you want to talk about what's going on?
Yeah,
and leave it at that. But to go on and then be like, you know, your mom's told me that you're going through a breakup, and if you want to talk, that's where it goes beyond teacher. Because it's one thing to be like, I'm commenting directly on the behavior that I see in my classroom when you are here as my student.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing to use information that is private to, like, have a close conversation with essentially a child that you're friends with.
With this conversation... First off, Netflix, I don't know if this is Netflix fault or what's going on, but there is another person in that room.
Yes.
A student just in the background. I think Netflix does a bigger ratio.
I think she's a statue, because as far as I can see, this girl does not move.
But I did actually want to back up a little bit. the girls.
Oh, yeah, so, Paris and... Mm-hmm.
Paris, Madeline, and Louise, first off, are sitting in different places.
Always.
Tristan is nowhere to be found.
It's fine. High school. There's no assigned seating in high school. They're being trained for the professional world.
Mm-hmm. Where you definitely don't have an assigned workspace.
Nope.
Obviously, no. Max, you know, he's going on and on about Henry James.
Yes.
James Henry.
Henry James.
Henry James. And he asks Rory, because he sees that Rory's distracted, and nothing. So Paris drops her book. Mm-hmm. I think this was a nice thing from Paris. I think Paris was trying to be nice.
I think so, too. It was framed like it was going to be a mean thing, but it was definitely like a throwing her a line kind of moment.
Well, yeah. And I'm not sure either at this point that Paris really knows how to do something in what we would interpret as a nice way. So I can see her, like, trying to do something to be nice, and it might come across of, like, is that the best way you could have done that? But I agree with you guys. I think this is Paris trying to, like, throw her a bone.
Yeah. The last time they talked, Paris was screaming at her.
Yeah.
Because of Tristan.
Truth. And so, they're kind of rude on the way out the door, too. Mm-hmm. Like, when they all pass her, they all have, like, a little remark.
To be fair, Rory was super rude to Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why don't we just stick a telescope on your head or something
I wrote down, still love that line.
And put a dome over you?
A dome over you and jam a telescope in your head.
Because she'd made an observation.
So yeah, now Rory's just not having a good day. Mm-hmm. She's insulted like three people already.
That we've seen.
And then Max spills the beans that he's kind of dating her mom again.
Yeah, and he doesn't know that it's a secret.
No.
Like,
nope.
So, in some ways, I think that, like, letting that information out, he's not trying to tell a secret.
Yeah.
He assumes that she knows.
Yeah.
I
can't fault him for that.
Max is coming from a good place in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the best time or place for that conversation, I don't know. Especially since there's already somebody in the classroom just eavesdropping on the whole thing, I guess.
In my mind, it's Paris.
But I'll give points to Max on this and that. I do think he's coming from a good place, and I do think he's just trying to help.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no, like, malice in this. He's not trying to be inappropriate at all. It's just he sees her struggling, and he genuinely wants to help her.
Yeah.
And we know he cares about her. Like, later on in this episode, we'll see him come in to help save the day, kind of. But, mm-hmm. you know, she's just not in a good place.
So, speaking of helping people, Lorelai has bought so much at this mall.
So,
yep.
Like, a couple gifts for Rachel and then, like, a million bags.
I looked this up. Okay, so I'm assuming Lorelai went into New York City for Bloomingdale's. Is there a Bloomingdale's in the area outside of New York City?
In
Jersey somewhere?
There might be, like, a nice shopping center in Connecticut.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I just know Bloomingdale's is a big New York City thing, so I wondered if she went into there to go shopping. But, so you see the tag on one of these suits that comes out? It says Boss. So it's a Hugo Boss suit. So as of now, one of these suits, at absolute minimum, they had some on sale for 50% off, was $200. Which is not bad, especially for a Hugo Boss suit. That's assuming she got literally the cheapest one.
Well, 6,000,000,000%
off. 600,000,000,000% off. But there's at least two in there, right?
Well, she's got, like, options.
There's a blazer.
Yeah.
There's a suit. There's a separate jacket. There's pants.
There's
sweaters.
He didn't even give her a limit.
Yeah, she really went overboard.
The suit itself, I'm assuming, is going to come with pants and a blazer. So everything else is going to have to be, like, she put easily $1,000 onto his credit card without even thinking about it.
Without even asking.
I'd say that's a line being crossed.
Right?
That's not a line. That's like a state being crossed.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a crime.
Right?
She's stolen from this man.
That's like grand larceny.
Yeah. But, I mean, he looks great.
He does.
He looks great.
And she buys the camera bag and the book, which I thought
that is
were
a
thoughtful.
Really nice looking camera bag. I do too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm jealous of Lorelai's gift-giving abilities at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I love that it's, like, there's the personal touch and then there's the, like, useful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Rachel is a photographer. Are you telling me that Luke could not come up with the idea to do a camera bag? And yes, I know she has the nylon one or whatever, but it feels so obvious. Like, how could you
miss that, Luke? Well, she already has one.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I am particularly bad at gifts. So, like, I can see Luke not thinking of it because I'm not sure I would think of it.
Yeah.
I loved when she's like, smell the leather. And he's like, I'm absolutely not going to do that. And then he, like, takes it.
Right?
It's really cute. Yeah. I love that the diner is open.
Yes, and there's
while they're
people.
Trying on clothes.
It's small fun. Town for you, huh?
And then I can put on my own belt, but he definitely misses a loop. So she starts to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Rachel comes in.
Like,
imagine Rachel's, that scene.
Kudos to Rachel.
Rachel's
here.
Expression is interesting here, too.
Yeah. I feel like this actress does a really good job because it's, wait a minute, what? Okay, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, yep, she's dressing him.
There's like a lot going on her face. And
yeah, she's very expressive here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she gives Luke like a...
Really?
What's going on? Yeah, like, that was weird. Like,
I was trying to picture, like, what if my best friend, who lives out of state, so this would be especially wild, what if I came home and my best friend was dressing my boyfriend, right? Mm-hmm. In a way that he is fully dressed and she's assisting. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty confident in my best friend and my boyfriend of 10 years, but I would still be like, what are you doing? Like, this is weird.
Yeah. So
this is super weird.
When Sean and I first got together, he has a female friend that he's known his entire life. They're really good friends. I love her. She's an absolute sweetheart. But that's kind of what I put in on, like, what would I do if I walked in and she was, like, dressing him? I would be really uncomfortable. I would start thinking, wait a minute, is there something going on here? Like, and not in a million years would I
it's
ever
just,
think.
It's very intimate.
Like, right now, that there'd be anything between them. But, like, that moment.
I do think the diner being open
helps.
Makes it a little better.
And then doing it in public, yeah, helps.
Yeah.
So, moving on from the diner, we go outside, and school is finished, Rory's arriving, Lane is there.
With coffee.
Waiting with two cups of coffee.
A peace offering.
Who apologize, yeah. She's so cute in that scene.
She's trying.
And Rory gets off the bus as a woman on a mission to just make everybody else as miserable as her.
Yeah. Well, everyone keeps talking to her.
Teenage angst.
But Rory's right. People need to stop protecting her. But way harsh.
Yeah.
Way harsh, man.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of what she does is excused. Because her decisions are very... Like, literally, I don't think she knew what she was doing until she was... there at her grandparents' house, but this entire string of events is just not a great moment. But I do want to give props to Alexis, because I think her acting in this, even though I don't like the character and the character's actions, Alexis does a great job of portraying Rory as, like, so internally, like, just fed up and frustrated, like, the way she holds her body and, like, the way they did her hair, like, everything about it, she's just... She's, like, on the edge, and nobody seems to see that she is on the edge until she's gone off the edge, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something controversial. I know Jesse keeps saying, like, and Emily, that Rory's not likable in these scenes. I think Rory is the most relatable in these scenes. I think for the first time she's cracked.
Yeah.
And we see some real emotion here, and she's not being portrayed as this perfect little girl. I think as a teenager watching this, I would have understood her pretty well.
No, I would agree. Likeable, no, but relatable, definitely.
Yeah, definitely realistic.
I mean, she's heartbroken, and she's been holding it in, and sure, she had one night of wallowing, and as far as we know, that's all she had. That's all she might have let herself had. And as far as we know, she hasn't really vented to anybody as to what happened. So it's all just bottling up, and, well... This is where it overflows.
She throws away the coffee, guys.
Ugh, she does. That's when you she know throws it's it away. And that's like, that's when she's snapped. And it's like, nobody should talk to her. She just needs to have her own space. And then, of course, she doesn't get to have her
Lorelai.
Own space.
I'm completely with Rory in that conversation of, it's always some huge thing. You can't just say, hey, let's talk. Because this is like, what is, like, 20 seconds of talking before she finally gets to her point, is what it feels like.
Yeah.
And you know what this scene gave me was that Jess, not Jess co-host, but Jess future mm-hmm. boyfriend, and Rory are very similar. Like, a lot of people think that they're very different, right? Mm-hmm. The good girl and the bad boy. No, they have very similar personalities, actually.
Yeah.
I could totally see Jess doing all of the same things that she did right there.
I mean, they both internalize a lot.
The eye roll, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Hartford.
Well, we get to, you're going to break up anyways.
That was like,
oh my gosh. That was so mean.
Such a cruel thing to say.
It really was. Especially considering it's true.
Yeah.
But without even knowing that, like.
That's what you do best, is what she said.
Yeah. That's like a hot poker.
I don't know how Lorelai is, like, okay with all that. Like, obviously she says, like, I need an apology, mm-hmm. right? But later on, she's over it. Like, those were way harsh.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, like, the things you say when you're angry, like, you either have to, like, sit down and, like, really talk about those things, or you have to be like, I was angry when I said those things. I am so sorry. Like, that's not what I meant. And then you just move forward. Because otherwise, you're trapped in that.
Rory doesn't move forward. Rory just straight up leaves.
Ugh. Goes to Hartford. Yeah. Can I just say, though, like, Emily looks amazing in this scene. Like, I love this outfit
oh my
that
gosh.
She's wearing.
Yeah, I have thoughts.
You know what I love about Emily? What we learn about Emily? This is the first indication that she's not just a housewife.
Yeah.
She's doing other things.
She is the president.
She's the president of
the Horticultural Society.
Yeah.
Trying to save, like, the...
Which is
the
awesome.
Be with some kind of fancy pansy.
I thought there was a nice juxtaposition of Emily helping Richard with his tie and not being able to, and Lorelai helping Luke with his mm-hmm. belt and not being able to as well.
Yeah.
Neither of these women know how to dress men.
No.
And it's nice because Rory shows up completely unannounced, completely unexpected. Mm-hmm. And, like, Emily is immediately like, I got this girl. Like, Richard, come pay the man. Like,
she just mm-hmm. drops everything mm-hmm. here.
She yeah. does.
But we've been talking about...
I thought it was a wonderful moment of grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about this, like, transition from stranger to grandma that's been going on, and this is like full-on grandma. Like, doesn't matter, we had plans, we are here for you, can I make you food, let's get something for this girl. Yeah,
grandma's full-on grandma. Grandpa is in a different world right now.
I love Richard in this scene though.
Do you want a cocktail?
Richard, oh no,
say something encouraging, Richard. Sorry your heart is broken, but great
I
timing.
Applaud your timing.
Gosh,
like, he's just so relieved to not that shows you how much he does not want to go to this event tonight, is he would rather deal mm-hmm. with a moody teenage girl than go to this event.
Absolutely.
Because Rory just wants to disappear. I mean, yeah, if anything, she's embodying her mother right now.
Lorelai
in the scene.
That's the whole thing. It's like, when Lorelai needed to get away from her parents, she ran away. And when Rory needs to get away from her mom, she runs to her grandparents.
And we're going to see,
like,
that
there
again.
There is such a parallel. And yeah. I know.
Does
God,
anybody,
I hate it. But.
Does anybody else think that, like, I love that Emily just takes her in and I'm going to take care of you, but I hate how she handles Lorelai, or how she deals with Lorelai.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, this is probably one of the biggest hypocritical moments we have from Emily, because we see in the future with Mia of, well, if my daughter showed up, I'd want you to send her home. Well, Rory shows mm-hmm. up and Emily calls Lorelai and they're just like, nope, she's here for the night, she's fine, we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
She's fine, let me take
but care
then of
Emily
her.
Won't let her talk to Rory.
Yeah,
I think that is like super inappropriate.
It's
like, even
mean.
Though you're the grandma. It's
because Lorelai is panicking.
Oh yeah,
I mean, she doesn't know where her daughter is. She's gone. Suki is going up and down to town. Doesn't get a phone call right away. By the way, when she finds out,
yeah,
whatever. And Max is even there. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay, so I wanted to say something about that. I have obviously seen this episode before, but so when Lorelai gets home and realizes Rory is not there, we kind of skipped over this.
Oh yeah,
Lorelai gets home, realizes Rory is not there, and she panics because the last time this happened was with Dean on the dance night.
Yep.
And remember how panicked she was? This is the second time that she's had this happen. And so Lorelai's panicking. Suki comes in. Suki's obviously canvassing the town. And then the door opens and my brain told me, oh, Luke is here to help. Before Max walked in, my brain said, oh, of course, Luke. Because of course, Luke. Like, when we see Luke later and Lorelai tells him, oh, Rory ran away, he's immediately like,
what?
What? He wants to help. He needs to get in there. But my brain was like, oh, of course, Luke's going to walk through the door. And then it was Max. And I was like, oh, yeah, Max.
Well, she's not going to tell Luke right now because they had that awkward moment. And Luke is not available right now for her.
I'm wondering if Lorelai realized she kind of crossed a boundary a little bit between him and Rachel. And so she's just taking a step back.
Yeah, that would be a smart thing to do.
And technically Max is her, like,
Max is her
beloved
thing
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Emily should have 100% passed that phone. And I do agree that Emily overstepped, but in her mind, she's the mom. She's mega mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorelai's minor mom.
Yeah.
So, like, she's like, I can tell you what to do, especially about your kid, because you're my kid. Yeah. That's her thought process.
And while I don't think it was appropriate for Emily to keep them from talking, I do think that they probably both were, like, the conversation was better for having had that space the next day, because I think that it would have been really, like, Lorelai would have been upset, Rory would have still been mad. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation could have gone a totally different way than it does the next day, where they just hug and it's like, what happened? I think it would have been a different conversation if they'd had it on the phone that night.
I agree. Yeah,
if they had it on the phone that night, it would have been a Lorelai of, what were you thinking? Just immediately freak out and yelling, and then Rory, of course, getting super defensive.
It would have been the dance night all over again.
Yep.
She's caught by her mom when her kid is doing something wrong. Like, the same thing happening.
Mm-hmm. I thought the breakfast scene was kind of cute.
Like,
Rory fits in really well in this life. I like that they showed that right away, because it makes sense later on in season 5 and 6 and 7 how well she fits in this life. And a lamb sandwich, though, is not my idea of a good sandwich, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's used to having fancy food when she goes to her grandparents. I don't know if she goes for the lamb. She does say strudel, though, right? We know she gets strudel.
I think she's just taking Richard's advice. Because he says, oh, you have to do the lamb. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's and also joke. Get the strudel. So I took it as okay, just do it all kind of
comment. And I love the Pop-Tart moment. Well, I'll have her whip one up.
Right?
Oh, Grandma.
Emily, I wish you knew what a Pop-Tart was.
Yeah. Did we ever see Emily eat a Pop-Tart?
Not so far. I don't even think she knows what a Pop-Tart is.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah. She didn't realize what frozen pizza was.
But breakfast on Stars Hollow, Lorelai goes to Luke, she tells Luke, Luke freaks out, there's a media freak out, but then, you know, everything's fine. And then it turns to Dean, that this is Dean's fault. And what I loved was Lorelai saying, I should key his car, and Luke being like, no, you should key Taylor's car and tell him Dean did it, because that's great.
Luke is that's diabolical. Even worse.
Oh, and tell him he littered.
And doesn't have his dog on a leash.
I love that.
But this leads to a scene that we've kind of already alluded to, talked about a little bit, where Lorelai cannot help but go in because she sees Dean working in Dozies. She literally cannot help herself. She goes back. Finally, she goes in. And she attacks, again, I have to say it, this child. Yeah, and she attacks him as if she was talking to a friend's ex.
At least she doesn't physically attack him.
No, she verbally attacks him.
Yes.
Luke's already done the physical attacking. But no, again, it feels very much like two adults talking about Rory the child. And I hate this about the Lorelai-Dean relationship, because they treat Rory like this baby, and they're these grown-ups who know everything.
Yeah.
And they have that weird tension that I still don't like.
Yeah.
He's so tall, by the way. Like, he, like, towers over her. It's so funny having this, like, short little... She's not short. She's, like, a tall woman yelling at this taller man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not a man. He's a boy. But he explains that, you know, he's tired of everyone looking at him like the villain when all he did was say I love you, which I have problems with because he was kind of an ass that night.
Yeah, like, it was not, Rory did not choose to break up.
No. It's like, no, it's not that you said I love you and she didn't say it back. It's that you said I love you, she didn't say it back, and you started verbally attacking her for how she handles mm-hmm. her own emotions. That's why you broke up.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's not why they broke up, but it ended up in basically Dean can't handle when he doesn't get what he wants.
Yeah, it's why he dumped her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Lorelai is immediately like, oh, this answers everything.
Yep. And like, so like rushes.
Lorelai, really?
Yeah.
Rushes to Hartford to try to find Rory. And Emily is like super concerned about Rory. She's giving a play-by-play about everything.
Ugh. Yes.
It's so
which
funny.
Is very sweet. Which is also kind of counter to her being like, I'm not going to let you talk to her. But like the second that she's there in person, she's like, wait, I'm catching you up on everything.
Telling you everything. I saw the aspirin bottle out in her bathroom, so I think she took it. I don't think she slept well, and
she said she wasn't hungry, but I had her get a snack anyway.
Like, I don't know if she's ate it or not.
She's locked in her room now. So Lorelai goes in, and Rory immediately hugs her.
Yeah,
right. I think Lorelai is really understanding here, and she's really wise. That whole concept of I'm still learning. I didn't think about the fact that I'm also teaching you.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's such a great line.
It is.
I really loved it.
I loved it.
It is really good.
I didn't write it down very well, and I did this yesterday, so now I forget what my whole thought was. But I love that idea from Lorelai. I love how wise Lorelai is, but I felt like Rory kind of disagreed with her a little bit. With her saying that I'm still trying to figure this out, but I'm like, no, Rory, like, your whole conversation to Dean was like, have you seen my life with my mom, like, how we handle these things? So it's like, Lorelai hits the nail on the head with what Rory told Dean, and then Rory's like, no, that's not it. It's like, no, but it was. It like, is that's it. What you said.
Yeah. Especially in Lorelai's point of view of, like, you know, I'm still trying to figure out myself, and you're 16 years old. You don't have to have it figured out, but I don't want you to be me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was really big of Lorelai to be like, I love that you have my eyes, but I don't want you to have my relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I wish I would have seen would have been Lorelai drilling into her just a little more of like, you cannot run away. Leave a note, leave something. Like, this is just, that's not okay.
Yeah.
I also would have loved to see Rory relate to Lorelai with how Dean treated her afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that's not even addressed, how not okay his reaction was at this point.
I agree completely. I think that's why Lorelai loves Dean so much, is because Rory omits all the bad things.
Yeah.
So Lorelai just sees the good.
Which, it's a human thing to do. I've done that in my life of, I don't want to talk bad about my significant other because I don't want other people to not like them. So it's human. I get it.
Especially your mom or something.
Yeah.
Although Lorelai going on her little Hanson interlude was not...
not needed.
The best.
Yeah.
But you know, sure, Lorelai.
Okay.
What I did love was that Rory really loves her grandparents and her grandparents really love her.
Yeah.
Even though Emily and Lorelai are always going to have that tension, at least it's not there between them.
Yeah. I will say this whole situation with, you know, Rory being in a really bad place and needing to get away, and like, she has this magical place to get away to, it kind of felt like in Harry Potter, every time they like learn a spell and then the answer to the big problem is that spell they just learned. Like, it's like, we have this big problem, and oh, if I only had a place to get away to, and I have this great bedroom full of 98 degrees in sync and the Backside Boys.
Just a Justin poster. It was great. So they drive home, and
so
Rory...
real quick, I'm very sorry. I made comments on this throughout it, but the timeline, I was trying to figure out the timeline of this week. So like, Lane and Rory... Okay. Go to Dosey's in the beginning, and oh, it's Wednesday. Dean's not there on Wednesdays. Okay.
Yes.
So, but then the fight is the next day?
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Because she says tomorrow you're coming to dinner at 7.
No, so the fight with Lorelai and Rory would have been the next day, which should have been on a Thursday, because Rory goes, is it a Wednesday? So she can't go in there. But she spends the night,
right.
She goes to school, and then as they're leaving the next day, so I guess at this point what should have been Friday is, I'll see you tomorrow for dinner.
Oh, you're right.
They got confused on the timeline, because I was trying really hard. I'm like, well, if it's not Wednesday, then what day is it?
Lorelai and Max have their date for Saturday night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then also when Rory gets there...
So she's overbooked again.
When Rory gets to the Gilmore house, Emily or Richard, one of them says something about, okay, the horticultural event tonight. We have another event tomorrow night. So I'm like, well, it can't be Friday because they can't be... The next day can't be Friday.
Oh, this is all very weird. Good points.
Yeah, literally none of it makes sense.
Sorry, guys. It's another black hole, but I just want to throw it out there.
But yeah, they drive home, whatever day it is, they drive home.
I have no idea.
And Rory asks to be let go so that she can talk to Lane.
And they make up. And
they have a hug, and it kind of made me teary-eyed the first time I watched it.
Aww.
I was just like, I need you guys to be okay.
Yeah.
They are. I think that's what's great about best friends, is I think Lane knew not to take any of these attacks personally. Like, Rory's hurting. She just needs to process. Mm-hmm. And obviously she'll come back and apologize. And she did. So they could just hug it out and be best friends again. And then Lorelai.
And there's a pizza waiting at home.
Yeah. Well, Lorelai never orders the pizza. She just goes home, calls Max, is like, I'm going to call everybody in my phone book and let them know we're together.
And then she literally does it?
Like, how awkward are these phone calls?
That's like...
And then she actually starts calling people. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, Lore.
I will say, Max had...
It's only a Lorelai thing.
Max had a point when he's like, you haven't brought it up with anybody that we're back together?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand not telling Rory, but Suki?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I'd be excited.
And he's like, yeah, it took me 2 days for it to naturally come up. Like, which is totally fair.
Well, and Suki and Lorelai have completely random conversations all the time, too. Or not random, but, like, Lorelai comes in and she's like, I have this bit of news to tell you. Like, there's no natural segues in a lot of their conversations. It's, I have this news to tell you. Let me tell you.
But, yeah, that was P.S. I look.
Still can't say it.
Town person of the week, guys. Who are we giving it to?
I struggled a bit with this episode.
Yeah?
I mean, I think there is potential for Max to get it. Because apart from the fact that, like, yes, we think he may be pushing some lines with the conversation with Rory, everything he did was very generous, very kind. He was trying to help her. He didn't realize that Lorelai has been not telling anybody about them. And then it seems like he was right to Stars Hollow as soon as he found out that Rory was missing. So, stand-up guy, if nothing else this week.
That would have been my vote.
Really? My choice is Lorelai. I think that she was upbeat. She did something for her friend. Kind of got a little weird with her friend, but, you know, it's fine. And she was, you know, panicking over her daughter. She didn't yell at her daughter for running away. Mm-hmm. Like, many parents would have yelled at their kid for running away. Instead of, she looked at the root of the problem.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
But she did it by yelling at a child.
She did yell at a 16-year-old kid, so.
I don't know, like, I think Lorelai handled the whole running away thing very well for the most part, but I don't think she drilled down enough on the whole, like, you cannot do this. Like, you caused so much panic and pain from doing this. I don't think she did enough there to really drive that into Rory.
Well, I'm outvoted, so I'm cool with it. Max can win.
Yeah. Just for being a stand-up guy. He didn't really know he was going to do anything wrong. He didn't know he was going to set Rory off. And then he tried to help the situation. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Honorary townsperson of the week.
Yay, Max.
Max Medina. Yay.
Congrats.
Okay. So after townsperson of the week, we have reference. What do we have this week, Emily?
So this week we have the reference up with people. Lorelai says something to Rory about being up. What am I, up with people?
I think it's Rory is being super sour and teenagery.
Yes.
And Lorelai says, does up with people know about you?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
That is true.
I did not comment. I did not write that much down, so I'm sorry. Yeah, so no worries. Lorelai says to Rory, up with people. So the first headline that comes up if you Google up with people, Google tries to autofill in cult. So that's exactly where this is starting. The first article that comes up is the gayish quasi-cult that invented the Super Bowl halftime show. Which, I mean, that is...
interesting.
That's a headline grabber if I've ever seen one.
Right?
Yeah, wow.
Not sure I'm a huge fan of the wording, but I guess it did its
something
job.
For everyone, though.
So, Up With People is a group that started in the 60s. It is an ensemble of clean-cut youngsters who sang and danced to upbeat songs written expressly to counter the cynicism of counterculture. So, like, literally, their whole point is to be like, no, let's be happy. Don't be sad. Be happy.
Is this Glee before Glee?
This is before Glee.
Let's not talk about Glee.
This is definitely before Glee. So the big thing with the halftime show is they are the first, like, I guess pop group that would have been a halftime show at the Super Bowl. Everything before this was, like, high school marching bands and university marching bands, university shows. So it was never, like, the big thing it is now. Up until 1976 in Miami during the Bicentennial Tribute Show. It's called 200 Years and Just a Baby. This is for the country, by the way. 1976, so 200 years from the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
But yeah, so as that goes on, though, Up With People is apparently very full of gay men. I guess the majority of them were not straight, so there was a little bit of irony going involved to be like, hey, be like these people during a time when being gay is super 100% not okay, unfortunately. So if you ever want a wild ride, read about Up With People. There is, it is a wild ride. Honestly, reading about it kind of like reminded me of the Brady Bunch. Like you watch the Brady Bunch and it's this perfect... perfectly mixed together, stepmom, stepdad, but no, they're all mom
and
dad.
Greg and Marsha are secretly
together. Greg and Marsha. Greg and Carol. So, oldest brother and the mom.
I thought it was Marsha.
Doing it. I think there was something with Marsha, too, honestly. I think Greg got around. But,
Either way, I don't believe anything you saw on TV. Honestly, ever.
Never.
That's very true.
After references, we have books.
Reading books with Emily.
Yeah, so this week's book, we have a couple of books mentioned and seen this week. So the first book, when Lane comes out of Dosey's, Rory's sitting on the sidewalk and she's reading Ulysses by James Joyce. We also have a call, Lorelai buys a book called Out of Africa for Rachel, the story of Isaac Dennison, which is a memoir of time in Africa. And then we also have Max mention Henry James. So he mentions a couple of times, you know, pick your book, but he does say specifically Art of Fiction is one that they should all read. And he goes on kind of his own monologue about how great this book is. But what I'm going to focus on is Ulysses by James Joyce. So Ulysses is a modernist novel by Irish writer James Joyce. So I kind of took a little bit of irony in that. The book we discussed last week was banned in Ireland, Grapes of Wrath. Anyway, so Ulysses is a novel written by James Joyce. It was first serialized in the American journal, The Little Review. So it started in March 1918 and went through December of 1920 before it was then published in its entirety in Paris in 1922. And it was actually published on his 40th birthday. You know, happy birthday. But it chronicles the appointments and encounters of the itinerant Leopold Bloom in Dublin in the course of an ordinary day in 1904. So it takes place about 15 years before it was written. And it's based, so Ulysses is, I guess, the Latinized version of Odysseus. And so this book itself pulls a lot of parallels to Homer's Odysseus, which I don't know, like, about you guys, but that was probably one of the biggest books in high school.
Yeah.
And we didn't even read all of it.
I never
like,
read it.
We had to read sections.
Yeah, we had to read it. Nobody.
Yeah. So the book itself, if you liked the Odyssey, if you have read it, it is still very long. It's not as long as Homer's Odyssey, but there are a lot of parallels in this story versus what you see in the Odyssey. It's a very coming of age, long tales, long stories, long travels kind of book. Completely random. One of the characters' name is Telemachus, and Charlie is obsessed with this cartoon on Disney called Bluey, and one of the little kids in it, but a lot of the times when they have to like pick a play name, like, no, my name's Telemachus, and I'm sitting here thinking, aww, like, did this 4-year-old dog read this book? Because this is not a normal name.
No, but the writer certainly did.
But yeah, so Ulysses by James Joyce, published in 1922, written over the course of 1918 to 1920. It's a very Odyssey-esque book. It has a lot of tributes to that. It throws a lot of, it has a lot of throwbacks to it. But yeah, that is what Rory was reading when she got smacked in the face with a bag of chips.
That's what this.
Unfortunately, in that same scene, she was wearing her Chilton uniform, which is not very fashion forward, but I'm sure Jess has some fashion forward for us.
Welcome to Jess's Fashion Corner.
Well, I actually really appreciated this episode because Rory kind of wore her Chilton uniform throughout, so I was able to focus on everybody else's clothing. And I have to say, this was a really stellar fashion episode for me for Lorelai. I think that Lorelai had
that red dress.
Right? Okay, we're going to get to it. I do want to say quickly, because right off the bat we jump in, you guys know I love a light denim shirt on Luke. And not only does Luke give us a light denim shirt, Luke gives us a dark denim shirt at the end. So we get light, we get dark, it's all good.
Real quick, I found it very interesting that Luke has only the bottom two buttons of that denim shirt buttoned.
A little weird.
It's a choice. It looked great on him. It was just interesting. I've never seen anybody like actively choose to wear a shirt like that, I guess.
Well, and it's funny. I recently saw that, young people these days, which makes me sound a lot older than I am. I just turned 29, are buttoning like the last button on oversized shirts behind them so that it falls really nice. So like you would put the shirt on like a regular shirt, but then instead of buttoning it in the front, you would just pull it behind you, button the last button, and then it falls like in a really nice, blousy, flattering way.
Interesting.
Fashion tip. Maybe Luke was trying to do that and he did it wrong.
And he forgot.
I do not think so.
Where do I button this again?
But okay,
I like the thought.
Lorelai is wearing kind of two main outfits in this episode. There's one in the middle that's kind of blah, but the first outfit she wears is stunning. It is either a dress that has a red and white print top and a red skirt, or it's separate. Either way, it's awesome. It's a sleeveless top with a red and white floral print and then a red skirt. And she has a low ponytail and she has a matching red lip that's like the same color red. And then to like amp this up even more, she puts a beige trench coat over it when she's just walking around Stars Hollow with a beautiful bunch of flowers in her arms. And I wrote in my notes, Lorelai is such goals in that moment when she runs into Luke outside of the cat store.
She looks because
she's
phenomenal.
Just so glamorous, right? Like,
she looked really pretty.
She looks incredible.
I love this outfit.
It's stunning. It's like, I wish I could look like that 1,000%. I do want to, sad to say, we do see Lane again dressed like a waiter. That button up all the way up.
But I did like the color more.
Yes, but we do see her briefly when she's just hanging out with Rory. That shirt is unbuttoned, and she does have a band shirt underneath. So I like to know that even when she is all the way buttoned up to the neck, you know that she's got a band tee underneath that Mrs. Kim does not know about.
I know that was a
fun little character moment.
And this is why I've decided that every time we see Elaine super buttoned up, it's because she has a band tee. She can't risk Mrs. Kim be like, what are you wearing underneath that? What is that t-shirt?
I love that. I think that's canon.
Yep.
Rory, like I said again, she wears her Chilton uniform for the most part. We do see her in pajamas at one point. Actually, we see her in pajamas twice. But in the first time we see her in pajamas, she has Paul Frank pajamas, which we've already seen that brand on Lorelai earlier this season. And Paul Frank is that blue with the monkey. The monkey's name, I believe, is Julius.
I think it's the same shirt. It was super hot. Like, I was wondering. I think that's the same shirt.
Is it the same one? Okay. Yeah. They share everything. Then we have Lorelai's going shopping look, which is the one in the middle that I didn't love so much. And her shopping look is like a purple and pink floral shirt over a pink camisole with some pants. I feel like her other looks stood out to me so much in this episode that one felt kind of filler. Rachel in her brief moment is in purple. I think that purple to Rachel is baby blue to Lorelai. Like, Rachel wears purple and Lorelai wears baby blue. I do want to talk about Emily's look. Emily, our co-host, already alluded to it, but when Rory shows up at the Gilmore's senior's home, oh my gosh, Emily looks phenomenal. So she's got it's either a long black dress or a long skirt with a sweater top over it, and it's got this wide sequin collar. But when I say that this is the most elegant I've ever seen sequins, like, this is incredible. I love it. Touching on the last outfit, which I love, is Lorelai's going to get her girl outfit, which is flared jeans, a gray t-shirt, and a green, like, denim jacket and boots. I would wear that every single day. I think she looks great in it. Super flattering. Super young and hip. But also good mom wear. So that is our fashion.
I want to make one note because we didn't say it in the episode. So I wanted to say it in fashion. Luke is wearing the belt that Lorelai buys.
Yes.
Yes. So he's got the hat and the belt.
He says he needed it, but did he really?
Did he really?
Like the blue hat? Or is he just wearing it because Lorelai got it for him?
Yeah. No worst dressed, best dressed by far is Lorelai. And I would steal everything from my favorite two outfits. So yeah, that was fashion.
Awesome.
And after fashion, we have Stars Hollow Speaks. Like usual, you guys have been awesome. We love how much we are getting comments and messages. And we have another 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yay!
And that is from Ashmisky. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong. But they say, amazing rewatch pod. This is everything I could have wanted from a rewatch podcast. As a GG super fan, I'm loving the detailed breakdown of each episode, the discussion around characters, fashion, etc., and especially the bonus info on books and references. I missed so many references watching it when I was younger, so I really love filling in those gaps. I truly feel like I'm sitting with friends chatting about my favorite show for each of the episodes and look forward to the new stuff every week. Keep it up. Thank you so much. 5-star reviews are great way to get our pod out there. So keep them coming. We love them.
That was just so stinking sweet. Like, it made my day reading that. Like, I was at work just smiling, and my coworker's like, what are you smiling at? I was like, nothing.
So, okay, guys, imagine this. It's 2:00 in the morning. You can't sleep. You open up your phone and you think, let me just check the Gilmore Girls Reddit, see what they posted. And you come across someone talking about your podcast.
So sweet.
And that is Raquella. She says, this podcast is so good. If you want an in-depth modern discussion of your favorite show, listen to Town Meeting with Sandra, Emily, and Jess. It's wonderful and like chatting on this Reddit, but in podcast form. I cannot recommend it enough. I've been binging it and their little jingles are always running through my head. Well done, ladies. Thank you so much. Like, you have no idea how nice this was to hear. You know, editing is not always the piece of cake that we make it seem it is. And sometimes we do get a little overwhelmed, but getting these comments definitely help. At least with me, it was really, really nice to get. And actually, Raquella messaged us on Instagram later on, and she was talking about Suki. So she was saying about how cool it is that Suki is her ideal character, who's, you know, like a thicker build, and she doesn't get made fun of, doesn't have her weight be a focal point of her character. I agree completely. I'm a thicker girl myself. So, like, Suki was always, like, such an inspiration for me. It was never the point. Like so many other shows, I feel like being fat or being overweight or being thicker, it's your whole characteristic as a character, not Suki. Suki's so well written, and I really love her. So, Raquella, thank you so much for reaching out, both on Reddit and on Instagram.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
So, and of course, last we have Tayshia on Instagram again. We put out a story just asking for some thoughts on this episode, and we heard from Tayshia. She goes, I'm not sure why they always treat Rory like a 5-year-old. Just tell her the truth. Girl, yes.
Yeah,
seriously.
So she said, I never understood it. Yes, Rory is lovely and innocent, but she doesn't need to be coddled. She is 16.
Yeah.
You are so right, Tayshia. Thank you so much again for messaging us on Instagram and giving us your thoughts. We continue to love to hear from you guys. It makes our weeks, makes our days so much.
Yep. And to tie up this episode, we're going to talk about coffee. Now, coffee...
There was a crime against coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what's bad is that I marked it off thinking, well, they only ever take a sip anyways. She's about to take a sip and then she throws it out. So I had to cross out that coffee. That coffee does not count. Ugh. But I did want to ask you guys, I always ask, when the episode first starts, they already had coffee cups in front of them. And then they get refills. Do we count that original coffee?
Because that was technically off-screen coffee.
I think that's okay. That's the rule.
Okay. So, then Lorelai had 4 cups of coffee. Rory had 1 cup and she threw 1 away. So, but Lorelai did have 4 cups of coffee. It was a stressful episode for her.
So. Yeah.
I feel like Rory doesn't go for coffee as much when she's stressed, as much as Lorelai does.
Last episode, I think Lorelai had 5 cups, but that was one of those episodes that spanned an entire week. Mm-hmm. So this was a short episode and she drank nearly as much. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for
her. Well, she was with Luke a lot and Luke drinks coffee. Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from. But yeah, that was it for coffee. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're almost there, guys. We're almost at the end of season 1.
We're so
1.
Close.
I can't believe we're almost done with season 1. It just blows my mind.
We're going to have some fun things for you in between season 1 and season 2, but we can't wait to let you guys know what they are. Yay. And what we're going to do. But season 1 finale next episode.
Wow, I can't believe we're there.
I can't decide if I'm happy about that or not. Like, that's great. I love that we've made it that far.
Yeah. I'm so excited for season 2, honestly. And, you know, season 1 it goes off with a bang. So.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in the next episode.
We will. And as always, I was Jess.
And I was Sandra.
This is Emily. Thanks for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Bye!
Good night, guys. Bye!
With the season almost over, we just wanted to give one more massive thank you to every listener, and a special shout out to everyone who sends us messages on social media or emails us. We are Town Meeting Pod on Instagram, and you can email us at townmeetingpod@gmail.com. Feel free to message us about our episodes, about Gilmore Girl episodes, or about anything in between. Once again, thank you.